Go ahead and start us off, big boy. That's you.
Welcome to the greatest goddamn show on air, with your host Davis Cohen.
And your boy Cole Clayton.
Tonight we have our guest Michael. We are going to be talking about some fucking road trips.
But and for the first time ever, actually, we have a live audience.
We do.
We're recording in front of a live audience. I'll give it up to us.
Thank you for being here. What are you drinking, Michael?
I'm drinking some of this mighty fine tequila, my sir.
Whoa. You want to inform the good people of America and the world what tequila that is?
If I'm pronouncing this right, Sincoro tequila. It is a
Reposado.
There you go. I'm not going to attempt the rest of the bottle, but it's a hefty 40.
My brother bought it for me for Christmas. I think he bought it for himself and then left it here, so it's mine now. But
I mean, finders keepers, motherfucker.
It's a good fucking, go ahead and tell me what you think, Davis.
Speaking of which, and a good toast to us. The year of 2020. It's about to come to an end.
Almost gone. As a matter of fact, this is going to be our first episode of 2021.
Yeah. But this tequila is interesting, though. I've never had this before. It's some of the smoothest tequila I've ever had. But it's got like a weird flavor that I can't really make out. What do you think?
I got to give it 5 out of 5 stars. I don't like tequila at all. And I really won't drink it straight. But this shit is good as fuck. Honestly, I'd shoot this shit all night.
It's got a nice aroma, though. It doesn't have that, like,
almost like a cinnamon paprika, almost.
Yeah.
But it's on a very light level.
It's like, yeah.
Like
drinking, like, wine or something.
Yeah, it's almost kind of, it tastes almost like a spritzer, almost.
Right.
It's interesting.
Out of 5 stars, what do you give it?
I'd give it a solid 4.
Four?
Just because more if I don't understand it.
It's a low ball on that shit, man.
I'm gonna have to go lower, then I'm gonna do a 3.
Well, y'all are fucking giving it. Y'all need to put some respect on the name of Sincoro.
I can't.
You know, honestly,
I'm trying to get fucking sponsors here, goddammit.
You know, to be honest, like, the more and more I sip it, the less and less I like it.
That's why I'm already at really? 3. Just because, alright, so, a little bit ago I just got back from Mexico, and the reason for it we'll get into a little bit. Tequila shops, every 10 blocks, they have their own home brew. Their grandma had made it. It was passed on from their father, so on and so forth. That was some genuine stuff. It left your mouth wanting more. This stuff.
What was it called? Do you know?
I couldn't even tell you. The name wasn't even on the bottle.
Oh, shit. That was the booch.
Never met a beer that I didn't like, but it seems like beer wants to rule my life. It's in my blood, yeah, it's in my blood. It's in my blood, yeah, it's in my blood. I love you. Alcohol, baby, alcohol. Gonna call in sick, gonna wake up in a ditch with my hand inside of your shirt. With my hand inside your shirt.
Tell us about Mexico. That's what this episode's actually about. It's about trips, so
yeah, road
tell
trip
us about
ahead.
That.
I'll start from the very beginning. So, here's my spiel. When it came to Mexico, in a broad sense, to give you that, you know, forefront, it was one of the most beautiful trips I'd ever taken. I had learned so much, not only about a different culture, but my own as well. And a lot of things that I didn't particularly like about how I presented myself in Mexico. And here's the rest of this. We'll start off as giving you the backstory. I do male modeling for a gay nudist magazine.
Oh, shit. All right. We're getting into it. Okay. That's good money, though.
The reason for this, how did I get into this?
That's usually are you people gay? That's the quick question right
no.
off the bat.
No?
No. Okay.
So just
no,
because
no,
you...
No judgment.
No, I understand. And don't think I took it the wrong way. The magazine flopped in my lap. That's what she said. He said in this case. So I was going to an orientation, an open house, if you will, for a school here in the city. And I had met this gentleman all because of a scooter. I was riding my motorcycle that day to the open house, to the, whatchamacallit. And I park next to this scooter. As I hop off, I look over at this guy's speedometer, and I see this motherfucker gets up to 160. And it's the kind that, right. A scooter, the kind that you sit almost like as if you're at a desk chair. Right? 160 miles an hour. I'm thinking about this all the way up when I go into the building. You know, getting off, taking off my helmet, taking off the gloves. And this was all pre-COVID, so you could just walk right on in.
Right.
Still in-person classes, it was lovely. Going down the road, I get up into the elevator, I go up, and I'm still just completely baffled. Because the bike I have, it's a 1982 Suzuki GS650 Cafe Racer. You know, it has the turquoise blue type paint in the accents of this navy blue base color. It's incredible. It has a white wall, shiny springs. The thing's bad as hell.
It is a nice bike. I've seen it before.
Are you talking about the bike that I took to your place?
No,
your
I saw bike? That one. That's your 850, and then I saw your 650. I don't know. That was the bike that you sold and then bought back.
Yeah. Yeah, 650.
Let's give it a little more detail here, because I don't know shit about bikes. So
my Suzuki in particular is a quad carb, meaning you have four separate individual carburetors for each piston.
Mm-hmm.
You have four pistons. You have instant torque, unlike a V-twin, like a Harley, where it takes a little bit for it to get going. If you have a really massive bike and you happen to have a V-twin, yeah, go for it. I have a buddy who has a 72 Virago, where if you put it down, and carbs are all tuned in and it has a kit on it, everything has been cleaned out, you know, things bad, but it can't keep up. It's a 750, mine's a 650. It's that extra fuel delivery that allows it to be so precise, because you have individual settings that you can place on each carb,
right,
that allows the bike to perform a certain way. That's what's so cool about carburetors. But the other shitty part about carburetors is that depending on elevation, you always have to change. So my bikes are really old. I couldn't really tell you anything about the new ones.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is electronic. You have different modes. Even you can press a button and throttle response will be different. That way, if you have a new rider on that bike, if they panic and twist the throttle, the bike's not just going to run away. So that's all electronically integrated. It's really neat.
Yeah, that sounds pretty
crazy.
But the only thing I've ever ridden, ridden was, down the street, and it was, an 85 Harley. So this is my ex's dad's.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't supposed to be riding it, by the way.
Just for funsies? You didn't drop it, did you?
No, fuck no. But I felt real, really, I was about to.
If you don't drop it, then you're usually okay.
So,
back to Mexico. Kind of scary.
Yeah, Mexico. I go up in the elevator. Man, how walk into the classroom. And I'm a pretty vocal person just to begin with. You know, I understand that we're all going in there. We're waiting on the teacher, on the administration staff, whoever the fuck's coming.
So you're in school?
At this time, I was going for... No. Sorry, I'm telling you how I got to Mexico. Because I'm giving you the whole backstory. We got time. We might as well talk about this.
Oh, for sure.
So... And getting into the whole magazine, I went with the magazine. And this gentleman who owned the scooter, when I walk up, I go, man, this scooter goes 160 miles an hour. That's fucking nuts.
Right.
This big 6'3", bald guy, who almost has a Santa Claus beard, but just not as lengthy. Well-trimmed and well-mannered as well. Great posture, especially for a bigger feller. And he turns around, raises his hand, and goes, that's mine. I go, sweet. Very next day, same spiel. Alright, get off the bike, park next to him. That's incredible. Wowza. We have an extended break that day, and he and I, we got to talking. So, around us, there's this local burger joint, right? You drive up, they run out to you. A lot like Sonic, except minus the rollerblades and minus the big screen at each parking spot. We go up, and he's telling me how he does this magazine, and how it's nudist, and he takes photos, and, you know, it's... For anyone who's really interested, it doesn't really matter the audience, but it's an all-male nudist magazine, right? So he spits the idea to me. He goes, well, you'd be a great candidate. And I was like, oh, thanks, blah, blah, blah. I blush, get the anime eyes, so on and so forth. I didn't really take it to heart. Not his compliment, but the idea, because I was like, whatever. A couple months go by, and he reaches out, and... He says, hey, you know, I'm still looking for models. Do you happen to know anyone? I was like, I'll ask around, but at the moment, still no. We had been contacting...
So this dude's, hitting on you.
No, he wasn't hitting on me.
I was getting hit on by old dudes. Right. By old dudes,
man. I mean, fuck it, right?
I mean...
That's the model life, I hear.
Whatever business you're in, that's what you're in.
Right. Seems like whatever business you're in, you always have to give a handy to get to the top.
I mean, you would know personally because you got to give me some handies every once in a while at the end of these shows, huh?
Really? Because this was 50-50, so if any...
We don't talk about it!
It's our personal dealings!
I got small hands, okay?
I feel so much bigger.
So, he spits the idea to me. I'm like, hey, I'll ask around and see if anyone's over, you know, interested. Another month goes by, and I can remember it almost to the T on... I reach out and go, hey, you still looking for people? He goes, yeah, I'm quite curious, you know. Give me some more details.
Hold up, did you just say bi curious?
I know. As soon as I said it, I was like, that's some funny shit.
I think you're looking for bi curiosity. Or out of curiosity. Go ahead.
He's like, I just fucked up my reputation.
From here on out, all is doomed. So, he gives me the details, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. So, think about it, sit on it. That's what she said. He said. Dude, it's
just so many innuendos. Fuck it. Just keep, like, it's cool, man. It's cool. I mean, it's that kind of podcast. Of
what you just mentioned the first one. I was like, right. Man, no.
It's that kind of like, show, really man.
Curious. So, the first time I go in, take the photos, done in 5 minutes. Really great money, might I add. We're not getting into specific figures, but enough to at least cover all utilities and car insurance and Wi-Fi. For 10 minutes worth of work. Now, flash forward, you know, a couple, I'd probably say 9 months. Ten months. And I'm in Mexico. The reason for it is because he knew I was resourceful. He knew if there was any job to be filled. That's what he said. Any job to be filled. I'm just going to go with it from here on out.
Do it, man.
That I would be able to figure out how to navigate and essentially get that position cleaned up.
Yeah.
And he takes me to Mexico. And... might I add, going through customs looking like the way I do, I don't look like any other person going through until you roll up my sleeves, because then there's the tattoos, and it's only on the inside of the forearms, but I'll even give it to the TSA agents, I'll give it to Border Patrol. I look like a drug dealer.
Yeah.
I can't
remember. Your eyebrows are kind of pretty, though.
I appreciate it.
Got some caterpillars going on.
I know.
I bet the ladies love it. Or the men.
So you got a Cara Delevingne thing going on.
Dude, I can just tickle the inner thigh.
Oh, yeah.
They're just kind of like...
You give them a show on the way down there.
Give them a little extras. Here we go. Going through customs. Instantly, I get pulled over. I'm like, yeah, that's not the ordinary. At this point, I'm used to it. From the moment I got, like, my forearm tattoos, I guess since the moment I started looking the way I do now, I've always gotten stopped, and that's probably a conglomeration of...
I mean, you're not talking anything different for everybody here. Mm-hmm. You honestly look like the least likely out of everybody here right now to be smuggling drugs. So.
Yeah, that's my problem. That's my problem. I look like I... Look, I think I do. Apparently TSA does in Homeland Security.
Did you
Mexican
do
Border
trick?
Patrol really thought I had something on my ass, so that's down the road. We'll get into that.
You totally got fingered, didn't you?
This is what got him into me on modeling.
Oh, is that what happened? You had a Pedro Pascal type finger you, and you're like, fuck it, I'm going to do gay modeling.
I got the inside of my asshole twiddled with, and I was like, instantly, dude, I just want to pose in front of the camera with my cock off. Let's do this. No one's stopping me. I don't know how you figured that out, but you hit it on the head.
So you're
on the head, huh?
So you're in customs.
No, alright, so I'll start the journey. It was a connecting flight to get to Dallas. Or to get to Houston.
Oh, that's where I'm from, actually.
Sorry.
Same. Oh, shit.
From the hometown.
Good guy.
I know. Hometown in Houston. I get pulled over, and I have my slippers. I have shorts packed in there, t-shirts. I'm going from northeast USA weather to tropical wonder of paradise, right? Right. He pulls me over, and instantly I can tell something's wrong. He really thinks something is, I don't know, I guess up my ass. Opens my bag, takes everything out. And keep in mind, I had everything packed a very specific way. I packed very light, so me going on a trip for, you know, 2 weeks, everything's in a very sketchy. Specific way. Well, takes everything out, and that's when he pulls out my slippers, and that's the only thing he wants. He didn't want any of the toiletries that I had in there, like toothbrush, toothpaste, shampoo, nothing like that. And I just think nothing of it. Going through Mexican and U.S. border, that was a different story. I had gone through, I'd gotten to Houston, right? Gotten from the city to Houston.
Which airport were you at? You were at Bush or were you at Hopkins?
I went through Hopkins.
Or Hobby, I'm sorry. Hobby?
Oh, in Houston?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, but I flew out of Cleveland.
Was it really big or was it kind of like ghetto, the airport? The both of them are shitty.
Airport,
I gotta be honest.
Any airport looks better than Cleveland. Cleveland is it's starting to look better. It's starting to look, you know.
Cleveland's airport's kind of whack, but it's manageable out of all the airports that I've noticed. Because like Cleveland Airport's like pretty simple. It's like three concourses, and it's like you can't miss where you're going.
Used to be four.
Yeah, it used to be four, but
now it's a storage facility for chairs.
Essentially, yeah.
I mean, isn't the rest of it?
It really is.
No one's flying through that shithole.
How shitty is Cleveland Airport when I hear about 50% of people say, oh, I'd rather go to Akron. Akron is a shithole.
No, I can't, Akron?
just the city of it. I wouldn't drive to Akron if I had to fucking gun to my head. And people go there to fly out of there because they prefer it over Cleveland.
Akron's got some fucked up streets. I hate driving through there. And it's like, where the fuck am I going? I have no sense of direction. When you get in that city, you're just like, I don't know what fucking way is where.
And it's like, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I'm in the nice part. And then all, like, you just keep going. And boom, you're in the fucking ghetto. Oh, I'm gonna get robbed. Like, real fat. Bam. Go from suburbia to fucking ghetto. Like, fucking that. It's fucking... Fuck Akron. Fuck Akron for all of our viewers. I love you guys if you live there, but fuck your city.
but he wanted your slippers. Why did he want your slippers?
He needed something to want. I really couldn't tell you.
But there was nothing there.
Right. I don't travel
with IEDs in the slippers.
11, 15 trips that I've taken, I'm always getting stopped, so I'm not going to carry anything on me. That's...
There's no point.
You're setting yourself up to fail.
I wouldn't put anything in my fucking suitcase even for, like, no matter what. Like, fuck that. Like, fuck that. You know what I mean? Agree. Like,
do you think that you get profiled?
Yeah, absolutely.
He said that. He's been searched quite a bit, right?
Every single time.
Yeah, that's like profiling, for sure.
That's some shit, man. They're just jealous of your eyebrows.
I'm instantly put in this hotel room. I finally get my own space. Kind of just having a... For no reason. I wasn't really expecting anything. But I was just tired of traveling. I was tired of getting pulled over and searched multiple times. Because going through U.S. Customs and going to Mexico, you have to go get your bag from baggage claim.
Right.
Go recheck it. Go through security again. Then go through customs. Did that twice. So it's three security checks. I got searched three times that day.
Fuck!
And then leaving, I got searched another three times. But the whole time in Mexico, the retreat that we went on was a gay nudist retreat that I was helped lead. Because I was in the magazine, because I was able to, you know, piece together details and fill in those empty gaps that need done on a work site, I was taken along for the trip.
You walk around naked at the beach?
Yeah, at the beach, we had a 9-room villa that overlooked all of Puerto Vallarta.
Dude, he sent me a Snapchat of him walking through this fucking villa.
You know,
I shit you not, this thing was bigger than your house.
Really?
Yes.
I would probably put maybe 9 or 10 of your houses. What's up?
Were you on Pacific side?
Yes. Okay. It's, Puerto Vallarta is on the west side of Mexico.
Oh, okay, okay. I wasn't sure about that. I know nothing about Mexico.
Yeah, I don't really know much about it either. I lived 8 hours from there.
Don't worry about it. Weather was fantastic. Now, my job was really quite simple. Walk around with your dick out, but my day-to-day life was...
All right.
It's a good job. Just, that'd be when my alarm was. Breakfast would be usually around 8:30. We're going into that. Everyone goes off, does their thing, explores the city, goes on tours, whatever the fuck they want to do, the day is theirs.
So, is this job that you're doing, is that like something that you could live sustainably off of?
They want to do about 30 trips a year. They want to take me on about 25 of those.
So I'm assuming that's very sustainable living.
It's $900 per trip. Flights, housing, food is all paid for.
Nice.
That's pretty legit for what, like a week of your time or something? Or?
Sometimes two.
For $900 and you don't really have to do shit except for just swing dick all day?
Oh my god, that sounds like the best job ever. I'm not
but then
lie.
The majority of your pay is also...
furry type guy?
Hmm?
So do they need a plus size furry type guy?
Wait, no, never.
That seems like you could kind of have it made. I mean, your dick's going to be everywhere.
It's not what I want to do with my life.
Oh, really? What? Get the fuck out of here. You are ripped to fucking shit, I assume. You're wearing a coat. I don't know. You get to travel. People pay for you to go places. And you get to meet all the poon from over the world.
Because I can tell at the end of life that's not going to be fulfilling.
Okay, but live it out. So how old are you?
22.
Okay, live it out another, like, 12 years, 13 years, till you're 35.
I need to start what I want to do with my life. I gotta start doing that now.
You really right? don't, to be honest with you. You're 22. You ain't got to do shit till you're like 30. It may seem like it.
But I'm gonna go at the pace that I know I need to take this at.
Cause I mean, look, you do you, right. For sure.
Man with a plan.
I understand, I get it, but I promise you, life starts at 30. Okay.
For you, shit. No,
for dude. Everyone.
Dude, I'm buying a house. And yeah, I'm 23, man. Yeah. Life starts early, bro.
No, it doesn't, because we live to like 90 now.
Standards, man. Standards and goals.
Hey, man, dude, I'm rushing through it. I feel you, homie.
So starting out my day, usually started around 8 o'clock. You wake up, 8:30, boom, you got breakfast. We had our own personal chef inside the entire villa, where at around 7 p.m. or so, he would go home. We had two meals a day. We had the breakfast and we had the dinner. And those are the meals that were paid for. So if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah, in Mexico, they can't eat three meals.
That, then boom.
Can't afford it.
Don't even sweat. Now, here we go. Everyone's doing their own thing throughout the day. So dinner time rolls around. Of course, I want some delicious cuisine, Mexicano style. And show up. After that, everyone disperses. It's time for the evening. I set up the bar, make sure all the drinks are out. I learned how to make margaritas for the first time.
That's what never, you
and that's from scratch.
Hell yeah.
Salt, sugar, some squirt, some ice, tequila, mango,
squeezing
or whatever.
Squeezing the shit out of some limes. Your hands are probably tired as fuck after squeezing all them limes.
No, it wasn't too bad.
Oh yeah, you're ripped. I forget. You're a model. You got that fucking shoulder strength.
All day, every day. Dinner would, cease to exist at like 7:30. When 8 o'clock rolled around, man, it was a different fucking scene. You had 10 gay men just coming out of the shadows with their cocks out. Being the straight, being one of the straight ones there, it's not something you're like, oh, I wonder if like... So if you're ever one of those people who's like, if he ever hits on me, I'm gonna punch him in the face... I gotta tell you something. You're one of those insecure fucks that really just needs to stop existing.
Change it is a fucking compliment.
So, here's my spiel. Like, all those people out there that are always just like, oh, if a gay man hits on me, I'm gonna punch him in the face. Take a reevaluation of what you got going on, because if a lady had said it, your dick would have been like, oh, I feel right on top of the world. Chill the fuck out.
I mean, if a gay dude hits on me, my dick might get a little hard. We don't know.
So, like, during all the parties and everything, or, like, for, like, dinner and everything, did you have to be nude, too, or...?
Dinner and breakfast, no. it was a clothing optional type of trip, but seeing that I represented the magazine, I figured it'd be, you know, suiting for the character to be nude.
All jokes aside, was it weird to just be naked all day for
months? It took a lot of adjusting to, I'll give you that. So I didn't go nude for the first like 5 days out of the 9-day trip that I was there. Mm-hmm. It was a lot to absorb, seeing that I'd only been naked in front of the one guy, and he's being the one that, you know, rode the scooter to that open house, mm-hmm. you know, 10 months back. I'd never been naked in front of his partner. I'd never been naked in front of my coworker that was going for the same job I was doing, right? So I was completely in over my head going into it. But I'm very glad that I was the one to go on to it. I think I added a lot to the trip when it came to personal connection and adding, I guess, that odd man out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Brandon being the other guy that was doing what I was doing, which was just walking around with our dicks out, making conversation, being eye candy, essentially. It works out, and it's really, really simple to do. You just talk to them like you would talk to your friends.
Right.
And that's it.
Do you make tips at all? Like, do they?
I was given tips because a lot of the evenings I was up past 2. Now, keep in mind, I was up doing my up at breakfast at 8:30, so I was up the majority of the day. I only had about 6 hours of sleep. Now, you say, "Oh, but you know, you don't have anything to do between breakfast and dinner," and you're right. But I chose to be a little bit productive while the housekeepers, the chef, and the maintenance people were running around doing what they had to do while everyone else was out of the house. I just sat and listening to conversation and hearing words that often came up. S is a lot, it just means is. Being around that, you got to start piecing conversations. I was like, you know, what are you doing? Oh, I have to do this. I have to, and then I lost after that, just because the words started getting larger, started getting more advanced. I was not advanced in Spanish, although I am starting to take it.
Did you find yourself in many situations where you didn't have the Spanish skills to communicate with anyone down there?
No, and that's thankfully because of the jobs that I had previously. Like I said, I worked at a body shop, and the entire detail room, not to be stereotypical and to bounce into, not to be redundant, that stereotype. Whole detail room was Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them didn't speak a lick of English. So instead of me learning Spanish, I was able to come up with an easier alternative, which was to using hand signals, using very broken common words that could ultimately use a sentence.
Right.
So instead of going, do you have any milk? I go, leche. And that's it.
Yeah, because you get the idea there.
Take that into any account, you know. Como se dice, you know, how do you say? And then I would, como se dice lunchbox? Como se dice, you know, how much?
Right.
Or just say how much. A lot of the tenders to the stands, of course they know how much. You know, that's their language.
Right.
So even if they don't speak Spanish, he's still a businessman. He's universal in, I would say, a strong 20 languages,
right,
being one of the biggest hubs in Mexico for any
kind. You get a lot of different kinds of people in that area, so.
The only negative I would say, and we had made jokes about it earlier, but put it on the table, I was asleep one evening, and I woke up to getting a handjob. So there was a sexual assault that went on. It's not something
that... Was it one of the other models?
No, it was one of the guests.
Oh, I mean, that's how, imagine how it would go down.
Did you just roll with it and just let it happen?
I said the most neutral thing I could have said. We were on the very last night, and everyone was leaving the next morning. So I said the most neutral thing I could have said, which was, man, you got to let me sleep. We got to be up early.
So it was a guy?
That's not really... That's
that was a dumb question.
Yeah. No.
That was a really stupid question. Really.
Is it sexual assault if a girl is giving you a hand job?
Yeah,
like, honestly,
anything that's unsolicited.
But you would roll with it at that point, right?
No, because that's my own personal body.
I guess.
You know, that's me. Like, you're inside my boat.
It's a violation.
Right. I don't really... Just because you're good looking don't mean I want to fuck you. right?
All
right. Fair
all
enough.
Right.
You know, for me to fuck you, like, A, you gotta have a banging personality. I'm gonna make some jokes.
You hear that, ladies? He's single and he's ripped and he has moral obligations.
He's got standards, so 90% of y'all get the fuck out of here.
I'd say like a solid like 93% of y'all.
Damn!
He's picky. 95, 98. Just because I'm looking for that particular.
All right.
Dainty is not something that I go for.
He wants to look for a long time to make sure he's settled for a long time.
He already said he's trying to buy a house, get a new job, a better job. You gotta be a bad bitch. Sorry, bro. Sorry. If you're listening to this podcast, because we got a 17% viewership from females, which means that you probably ain't the one.
So get the fuck out.
Right. Sorry.
The reason why I said, and to cap it all off, at least on that page, I had said earlier that the entire trip is beautiful. That I there really was no downfall except for, I guess, that short little stint. And for those 15 females, or that 15%, not 15, it's probably 15%, you probably got 100 motherfuckers that are just putting this on rewind, that's it.
Probably.
When this blows up, I'm going to say I was on, like, this. What was it, how many episodes?
This is the sixth episode.
The sixth?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What'd it do? Add three of those together. That's my man. No,
so did you have to cover up your tattoos for your modeling?
No.
No?
I'm not really too worried about it. My face and dick are in it.
You can't really get much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's my spiel. If you see me on the streets and you're like, oh, I saw your cock, go ahead and say those exact words. Oh, I saw your cock. Thank you. You put money in the back of my pocket. If you want to see it, I'll flash it to you. I'll wiggle it around for you, make it look like a retarded sea cucumber, whatever you want.
So wait. So you say you're going to just flash it to people? You already make money showing your cock, and you're just going to lay it
out. You're going to give that away for free?
Yeah, right.
Why not?
Nah.
Look, you already paid for it. You know, you ever have
so pay for it again, bitch.
Well,
fuck, you pay me.
I guess in a way it's helping the customer because it's free advertising.
Yeah, thank you.
That's the businessman right there.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Gallagher.
Brain, but not the keys that all the chains I wanna open. I wanna close them.
That fucking beautiful ass song was a good friend of mine, Brian Gallagher. If you like that song and you like his other song, Alcohol, which is used for our review segment, check him out on Twitter and Instagram at GoByGallagher. That's Go_By_Gallagher. Check him out. And back to the show.
So, finishing off this Mexico trip, that was the last day. Going through Mexican customs is one thing. Taking 9 edibles and 6 shots prior, all within 20 minutes. So we left the villa, and 20 minutes later, we were at the airport.
Mm-hmm. You weren't driving.
6 shots were in my system, and 9 edibles were in the clock.
9 edibles.
So it was about 100 and... I'd probably say closer to 180, 190 milligrams.
That's good low God. For a 9.
Homemade. Right. One way or the other, I knew I was fucked. Now, I had rolled up. Me and Brandon, we pop out. We go through the doors. My ass walks straight up to the lady who can get me the boarding passes and check my baggage all at the same time. Because I got to put the motherfucker up on the scale anyway. Might as well do all at one.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, he went off and he was like, he did the kiosk where he gets the flight thing or the ticket for the bag. Still has to stand in line. Still has to get... He already has his boarding passes, but he still has to stand in line.
So this guy, Brandon, he's another model, I assume, right?
Yes,
correct. And is he somebody who's from Cleveland? Like, you know him pretty well?
Yeah. So I know of him. That was the first time we had met, gotcha. Which was being on that trip together. I had seen pictures of him. He was like, hey, this is who you're going with.
Here's my dick, you know.
Don't be intimidated.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Dude had a third leg. Could have walked
on it. God damn.
Could have walked on it, need be.
So, all right.
No need for a peg leg.
I'm walking in, and this lady, she goes, passport. I was like, yep. Bop. Plop that motherfucker on there. She goes, boarding pass. Put my phone up on the desk. I'm feeling good, feeling groovy. And then she goes, immigration card. I go, what? She goes, immigration card. It's green, red, and white. It's about the size of a credit card.
You don't look Hispanic, though.
Huh?
You don't look Hispanic, though. Like, you're coming into America, right? And they're asking for your card?
No, I'm coming... I'm to get my boarding passes... Because I didn't have them printed out. You got to go up to the lady. And I also got a check bag to put on the flight.
Gotcha.
So that's the lady I was talking to. So I figured, get my boarding passes to go back into the U.S. Because I'm in Mexico.
Cool.
Get my boarding passes to go from Mexico into the U.S. Check my bag. Get all my papers in file. We're good.
Okay. I've never done an international flight. So that's...
I'll go into dip things.
It's a little difficult. But once you go through it, you're like, okay, I got it.
It can be a pain in the ass. Make sure you schedule your flights well in advance.
Well in advance. All right.
So don't try to be like, oh, we land in Houston at 11. Flight to Mexico is in 12. You're going to be running. You're going to miss that flight.
You're gonna want to make sure you got all your documentation. Because if you don't have a passport, you got to...
They wouldn't even allow you from Hopkins to get on that flight.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even allow it because you're at step one. Nah. We're not letting you on this flight. You don't have your passport to even...
Because you have to have a passport in order to leave the United States or come back into it.
But even, Hopkins to go to Houston, they made sure I had my passport before I even left.
This is...
So, she goes, immigration card. I'm like, oh, my man, what are you talking about? Shows me the form. I was like, I need another one of those. And she instantly just, I see her shoulders set back. She goes, you need to fill this out and bring it back to me. I was, done deal. The edibles are starting to kick in, and the shots have already set in because I took all 6 of those motherfuckers at the same time out of the bottle.
Oh, God.
Better have yourself.
So now I'm fairly drunk, and it's climbing. And now the first 2 edibles are starting to kick in. Keep in mind, I took 9. The information that I had to put onto this card was all the information from my previous flights. Where I was going, the address to where I was, everything. Now, I grab my bag. I have a shit ton. Always have writing utensils on you. Just bring it, buy a fucking pack of pens. It costs $3 and you have 5 of those in a pack. Now, you if you need to write something down, you're traveling. You're always going to need to write something fucking down.
For sure.
And if electronics, they're a hassle because you only can look at one thing at a time, do it. Do yourself a fucking favor, alright? I kneel down next to the sign, which is next to one of the support pillars leading into the airport. I look sketchy. In fact, I've caused so much ruckus with me kneeling down, writing something on this form, right, all my flight information coming into Mexico, the flight from Houston, what time it was, the address I was going to, the dates I was... Now the third, fourth edible is kicking in, because it's probably taken about 15 to another 20 minutes to write all this down. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling groovy. By the way, did I also mention that the time that I got to the airport and by the time I needed to be on my flight was only 1 hour?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, shit.
So, 20 minutes had gone by, all right, since me walking in, getting the form, finishing up. She goes, and before I had left the first time, she goes, awesome, and she was getting me fucking pumped. She was getting me to stand up almost the way Optimus Prime was in all the movies talking to the Autobots. And she goes, you're going to fill this out. You're going to bring it right back to me. You don't even have to go through the line. Just come over on the left-hand side coming towards me. Tell the guy that he's going to stop you. Don't let him stop you. Just point to me, and he's going to be like, okie dokie, and then blah, blah, blah. That's it. Sure enough, that thing happens. I walk up. The guy's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm like, don't worry. She told me I'm just getting my boarding passes. I need to talk to that lady, right? Where is she? The lady isn't even there anymore. This is fucked. And now he goes, who do you talk to? I was like, there was a lady. She was at that kiosk. She was at that computer. She's not there anymore. And then I was like, talk to that tall guy. I was like, grande. And I did like the hand motion of like the guy. And he goes, okie dokie. And walks over to the guy.
Did he say okie dokie?
Right. Walks over to the guy. He was standing two computers away, but was standing next to us at the time of that transaction. Looks up at me. And I see the fucking lady walk right behind him, who's standing right next to him. But I was like, ah, fuck, where is this cunt? And she walks behind him. And I'm like, I'm waving my hands to this fucking tall-ass Mexican guy. 6'5". He has his little flight uniform on from, like, United Flights or whatever. And he's looking at me. He just starts smiling, looks back at the dude, points over to the lady. He looks back at me, gives me the thumbs up. I look back at him. I give both thumbs up. And he goes... okay, and he does like that big one, like five fingers spread apart, hand motion to come towards him, and I'm like, awesome, bring my form up, slap the motherfucker on the desk, I'm feeling good, competence is confidence, boom, boom, shakalaka. Nope, 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 I didn't get my form stamped by immigration, apparently, and this cunt knew that.
Oh.
And the reason why I say cunt, not because she was a total bitch, but because she played my ass. If I was calling her a bitch, then I would be mad. But this cunt, and it's like the same way of calling me an asshole. I'm everything but, all right? I'm a dick. But an asshole just kind of looks out for himself, and that's it.
Right.
Not me. So this cunt looks at me, smiles, and goes, you didn't get your shit stamped by immigration. I was like, where the fuck is immigration? She turns me around. She goes, you see that building that says IMG with the Mexican flag? And I was like... Yeah, I do. And she goes, that's immigration. I was like, makes fucking sense. She goes, all right, take this form, go stamp it, bring it back to me. I'm like, is that it? She goes, yeah, that's it. Awesome. Go up to immigration. There's one lady in front of me. She's paying. She's getting out of the way. I bring my form up, slap it on the desk. I'm like, what up, homie? This dude is straight out of the Mexican military. He looks like he would fuck everything up, including Osama bin Laden's children. Looks at me. He goes, all right, you know, like 80 pesos. I was like, slap up a Benny on the desk. He goes, I don't take USD. I was like, what? Luke points me over there. He goes, go to the motherfucking currency exchange. Yeah. Go to currency exchange, bring back some money, and we'll be good. I was like, how much is it? He goes, like 80 pesos. I was like, bet.
Fuck.
So, 80 pesos is only $4.
Oh, okay.
All right,
that's better.
So, don't be alarmed. 80 pesos, done deal. Go over to the currency exchange. Two people in front of me. One guy I can tell, and he's the one directly in front of me, he's working at the airport. The other lady is another traveler who's getting pesos, and she's turning it into USD. All right? So she had pesos, sorry, I fucked that little lineup. Can I have another thing of that?
Yeah, for sure.
You want ice?
No, thank you. I'm a big boy.
My nose is liquor.
So, the lady gets out of the way, and here comes the guy. Motherfucker leans up on the counter and starts talking to this lady like they hadn't seen each other in years. And they were catching up. The kid's shitting in the wind. Oh, and my God. You can tell he's just trying to slick talk her, right? Talk her up. Maybe take her to like his sister's his lips quinceanera. And shit. You know? Whatever the fuck it happens to be. And I cough. I go, I make some noise. Guy looks back at me and goes, ay puto.
And, oh, that's not good.
I don't give a fuck. I'm trying to get on my flight. Keep in mind, now 5 and 6 are kicking in from the 9. We're almost getting on full, kicking in, alright? It's not, I'm not saying that they're at full fucking tilt, that my throttle is to the metal.
Yeah, but it's 5 and 6 right, at this five point.
5 and 6, and so now...
You're going 80 right now.
Okay, right. We're going 80 on the freeway, and there's traffic.
Right. Getting close to rush hour.
Guy moves out of the way. I slap the Benny on the desk, and this was my last $100. And, you know, I knew I had enough to make it through, you know, both airports, get food if I needed. I budgeted perfectly. Whoop-de-fucking-do. I had just planned for her to take, like, $20 of my 100 and turn that into peso. Nah, this bitch takes the whole thing, gives me, like, a, what is it, like, 600 pesos? I don't remember. Don't really give a fuck at this point, because now I'm really right. stressing. I think it's, like, 4,000.
I'm getting late on, your flight, right?
At this point, we're running on, like, 40 minutes of that hour. Now I have 20 minutes to get through security, which was already a mile and a half
fuck.
Deep. Get to my flight, which is on the opposite side of the airport, and get on the flight, whoop-de-doo. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because I take my money from the little stand, go back over to the immigration desk, and the lady in front of me, who had just been over at the currency exchange, what's she putting on the desk? American fucking dollars. That guy had just told me that he couldn't take American dollars and that he wasn't allowed to accept the American note. That's the dumbest shit that I've ever heard. Walking over there, I figured, and I was like, what the fuck? Who isn't taking American dollars at an airport?
It's the world whatever. Currency.
Almost.
And
right. He just didn't like your face.
He was just trying to piss me off at that point. And it didn't succeed, because I thought it was funnier than hell. I was like, once again, the Mexicans have played my shit.
You got played through this entire right. fucking airport.
14 straight days here.
I look at him, I go, I thought you don't accept American dollars. And
why would you say that? Why would you start
just... Now he's gonna fuck you.
Because past the glass, I see this dude just give one of the biggest smiles I've seen. And this was a serious guy. You could tell he had seen some shit, been through some shit. This lets out the most honest chuckle. A rumble through the glass, you know. I thought it was funnier than hell, too, because I was like, motherfucker, they got me. Now, we're rolling through, and he's looking around for the paper that I had left at the desk. The paper that said, he says, like, I'll hold on to it, don't even gotta worry about it. And initially I was like, that kinda sounds a little bit iffy from the get-go, right?
No.
Always take your shit. He's looking around for this thing. I was like, dude, I saw you no shit 5 minutes ago, and now you're, like, you're looking, I was watching the immigration to see if there's gonna be a line. Nothing. No line, no nothing. How could you have lost my paper? And now I'm panicking. I'm beginning to panic because there are like 20 minutes to go. He stamps my paper. He chuckles again, puts it through the glass. Motherfucker's hand wasn't even off of it. And by the time I had slid the paper out from underneath his hand, the counter was on fire. It was that quick.
So he had it the whole time?
He had it the whole time. He had my paper. I run past everyone, and I had these guys, keep in mind when I told you I was doing some sketchy shit, besides just writing down, like, the information on that form. I ripped the form out from underneath him, go to the guy, I give him the thumbs up, he goes, okie dokie, takes me over to this lady. The lady looks at me, smiles, rips off the bottom half of the form, stamps her in, hands me my boarding passes, and now it's time to go through security, which is a mile fucking deep.
God damn.
But thank fucking God it's Mexico. Because they don't have those goddamn machines that you have to walk into, hold your hands up, fucking does a peer. It's just a walk-through metal detector. So us motherfuckers, we're just going one at a time. Boom, 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 boom. Knocking it off. Boom, boom.
I was wondering, since it's an international airport.
And knocking off... Yeah, I know, right? Easy. The airport staff looked like they were all cartel kids.
Oh, fuck. So they're just letting they look motherfuckers like, through.
They look no older. Some of them look no older than 14.
Oh, shit.
The oldest one I saw, which everyone was going to, looked like he was 16, 17. Like, anyone who was smuggling drugs. And I tell you what, this was the easiest airport to smuggle drugs through. If you look anything unlike me. That's not even worth their fucking time. Going through security, we're, like I said, beaming through it. One after a fucking another. And I see out of the corner of my eye, like, this big black blur. Don't think anything of it. I'm going through. Bags get through the metal detector. I was like, that's weird. Usually I get stopped. Guess they don't really suspect me. No, that wasn't the case. In fact, it was the complete opposite. Because three men dressed in all black, black sunglasses, black bandanas going across their face, the black sailor hat, the black flak jacket, a Mexican flag patch, AR-15s. Guy talking to me didn't have anything besides the dual handguns strapped to his fucking waist.
That's like the
tasers,
Mexican...
Right.
That's your cue to get on your plane.
That's like the Mexican, like, Men in Black, bro.
They're about to neuralize your ass.
That was cue to go with them, because that's what they told me to do.
Fuck. Oh, yeah.
My ass just goes... I damn near...
What are my options here?
Right. I can feel one of the old turds starting to poke through, giving a diglet. Pokemon, if you don't know who they are, look them up. Couldn't relate more.
It's a Pokemon reference, guys.
They take me into this cement room, and it's stereotypical, like The Clothes or any other police show that has that one-way facing mirror. That's what it was.
And even in America, you like barely know your rights as an American citizen, but you're in Mexico. You don't know what your rights are.
I know, as long as you just play chill and you do with this, you know,
you hope.
I don't got anything on me. Like, that's not really my goal. So, there's this big mirror that goes from side. It's probably like a 10 by 10 cinder block room. It has two windows identical to this setup right here. Right? Gotcha. Two clear windows.
Oh, so dark and scary. Gotcha.
That look out over the tarmac. And... too high for anyone to see in, so you have to be like...
You see your plane leaving, you just got a teardrop.
Big cement floor, metal table going from one side of the room, stretching all the way to the other. They look at me, I go, give them like a shrug, and I'm holding both of my duffel bags, and I got my backpack on. And they point over to the counter, I go, Jesus.
Fuck.
Immediately throw all my shit on there. I have been through this so many times before, I swear to Jesus fucking Christ that I have been prepped for this moment. Throw all my shit onto the table, unzip every single pouch, look these guys square in the face. I go, yes, these are my bags. No one else helped me to pack these bags. I claim everything in these bags. If there's anything other than this, this, and this, which are specialty items in this black duffel bag, it is unbeknownst to me. I do not claim that item.
Gotcha.
And I look at them, they look at me, they kind of like almost take a step back, like, what the fuck? You know,
like, this dude sells drugs for sure.
Like, this dude's been through this 1,000 times.
They look at me, and I go, what next? And they go, well, there's going to be a strip search. And I was like, fine. Throw off my shirt.
Like, I've been naked this entire trip, fuck yeah.
Throw off my shirt, fold it up, put it on the table, take off my pants, turn around, put my hands on my butt cheeks, squat. Cough, stand back up, do a little twirl, look at them, open my mouth, swirl my tongue around, look at them, and go, what else? And they stare at me, just baffled.
You should have taken a shit on the floor. Just like,
they'd be like, that's the same as our water. Okay. Fuck.
Pull my pants back up. Turn around. Well, I pulled my pants back after they gave me the okay. I was like, that was easy. The guy who... Three guys. Two guys were watching me, giving me that intimidating factor. Like, dog, I had just been through this all fucking week. I had dudes grabbing at my nutsack, twisting my nipples, slapping my ass, tugging on my butt cheek hair. Like, do you have any idea what I've just been through this past week? I just woke up in the middle of the night to some dude trying to jerk me off.
You can't do shit!
This? And you're not even staring into my asshole the way some of these other pervs were.
So they didn't put a finger up there?
Hell no, I would have turned around, I would have taken their fucking dentures out, slapped them with it.
You ain't paying, bitch. Fuck out of here.
I'm here for money, motherfucker.
Fuck you, pay me.
Pull my shorts back up. The guy didn't even get through one of the bags. He was just watching the whole scenario unfold in front of him. Zips up all my shit. I zip up all my shit. They look at me. I go, all right, I need to catch this flight. They go, okay, I can see. One guy starts talking Spanish into his radio. We walk out of the fucking...
It's never good.
That's what you think. And so we walk out of this door. We go through this main little office. There are like two little like separate office cubicles, probably for these two fags behind me. We walk out of the office and there's this guy just sitting in one of the carts. And instantly I go, this dude looks like my barber. Fuck it. I'm going to call him Lawrence. Lawrence. I look at this dude. I was like, Lawrence, we got to go to this gate. It was like C-37. I'm like, God damn. Motherfuckers at the opposite side of the terminal. You gotta go left. You gotta go right. It's like an Indy car driver. Thank God this airport was fucking empty. Because my man Lawrence, I swear to fuck, we were an F1 driver. He's ripping up and down these hallways like he doesn't give a shit in the world. Sure enough, we get to my gate. We get there 10 minutes. Everyone's starting to board, right? So groups 1, 2, and 3 go. I'm in 2, but I keep my ass sitting. I was like, dude, I just need a minute to regain everything that just kind of happened. I just popped a squat in front of these officers, coughed, and nothing came out of my ass. Thank God.
I had it shoved up there pretty good.
Let's just take a second. I looked around. There weren't any, like, food stands. I was like, anything that was there, they were closed down. Mexican protocol when it came to COVID was extremely strict. They have that power in their government just because it's a little bit more ruley.
Oh, shit. So this was real recent.
Yeah. This was November... What was it? November 28th to December 10th.
Gotcha.
So yeah, like COVID protocol. COVID protocol in Mexico is extremely strict. That's good. Going into any store, you have to step on an antibacterial mat.
Oh, shit.
Kills all COVID on the bottom of your feet. That way, when you put your handbag down or book bag down on the store floor, you do not put it on.
The fuck can't we do that here?
Right.
Right?
Are you kidding me? They're barely mandatory to $600.
You are mandatory. You're mandatory to use sanitizer upon entering the store. An employee at every entrance and exit is holding a bottle of sanitizer. And throughout all the city, you must wear a mask. Otherwise, you are fined.
We can't even convince people to do that here. Like, what the fuck?
We still have a bunch of Karens here saying, I will not wear a mask.
That's a different topic.
It is a different topic. You're right. We've already been on it anyway. Go ahead with your story.
So, I get to the gate. I'm sitting down. People are getting onto the flight. Keep in mind, I have, you know, the hat I got on right now, which is a darker color. I have my aviator sunglasses, and I have a mask on. You look sketchy as fuck.
You look like you're about to rob a place.
Bro, I will tell you, from all the times I've been in an airport, any motherfucker that has sunglasses on, it's just an instant eye catcher, and you just automatically look like the Unabomber. It's just it's just what happens. You
profile that
way. It was bright as fuck. I was high as hell. Because now, 8 and 9 are starting to roll into the mix. The shots have finally settled in the stomach. We are prepared for takeoff. We go...
There's more to the story? Fuck!
Everyone gets onto the flight, and my ass stands up. And it's not like everything... Like, we still have, like, another 15 minutes before we can actually get on the flight. Before the flight actually leaves the motherfucking... the dock.
I was hoping you were just... It was like, they saw my butthole, and then I got out of there good. I was hoping it was... I was looking out for you, man. I was hoping it was gonna go good for you. This sounds like it's getting worse.
It's just another leg to the story that was just so unnecessary, but it was kind of the topper. As frustrating as it was, it's the best part in the story. I'm standing up and I'm starting to go, and these fine Mexican women from the airline company come walking up to me as I'm approaching the gate. They look at me, they give me a smile, and I'm like, oh, these guys are adorable. Yeah, sir, we're going to need you to step over here. You're being searched. I look at these motherfuckers. I go, are you serious? And she goes, unfortunately, yes. They take me. you know, they scanned my boarding pass. So my boarding
pass. Are you still in Mexico? Hmm? Are you still in Mexico at this point?
Yes.
What? They already searched you.
Yeah, well, now they're searching me at the gate.
Why?
They scanned my boarding pass.
They tell you why?
Look, I didn't really give a fuck. It was a gaggle of four beautiful Mexican women. And if they want to search, I'll whatever they want to do, that's fine with me. I
like that he used the word gaggle.
Right.
Thank you.
I'm going to strip again, just for the fuck of it.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to. And they take me, they scan my boarding pass, they take me on to the, like, the room right after you enter, past that point where they scan your boarding pass.
What? Are you talking about the pathway between the terminal and the airport?
Terminal and the plane.
Or, I'm sorry, the terminal and the plane, yeah, you're right.
Concourse?
I guess that would just be, like, a boarding tunnel.
All right, so they take me into the boarding tunnel, and there's, no there's place a room for this. Right before you get into that accordion-looking motherfucker that you can see from the seating area. They take me in there and go, we're going to search. And I'm like, fine, go ahead. Throw my shit on there. Unzip all the fucking pouches. I go, yes, these are my bags. Yes, yes, I'm the only one who packed these bags. I claim everything in these bags. Anything other than this, and this, and this bag is not mine. I do not claim anything, and no one handed me anything in this airport. They look at me, they take out my hoodie, which I had wrapped one of those tequila bottles in from Mexico. It was a 5-aged, like, oak barrel that they had been sitting in, like, the backwoods of these, like, the Mexican mountains or something. I was like, bullshit, it's tequila. It tasted so goddamn good, but the pottery that this tequila came in was outstanding.
Right.
It's on my shelf. You open it and you crack it open because it has the cork top. You can just smell that, just the aftertaste. It's soaked into the pottery. It's just...
it's beautiful.
It's beyond. So, she takes that out, looks at it, opens it up, sniffs it, takes a good little like step backwards just because it was strong.
Right.
I had just finished it at this point. 50 minutes ago? Takes a step back, and I go, tequila.
Tequila's O'Neal's.
Looks at me. Three of the five women get a good chuckle in. The other two just kind of smile, and I was like, all right, that's my goal. Get these other two, which they were the older. They were the older women. Alright, the other three that did laugh, they were maybe like 20 through 25. I was feeling good, feeling groovy. Immediately, I was like, alright, we gotta get these guys to laugh. And they go, okay, we're good. I go, in my head, I'm instantly pissed off. I'm like, you guys didn't even fucking search. You guys opened my tequila bottle, sniffed it, and then packaged everything back up. And thankfully, it didn't take too long, but I'm like, at least waste my time productively, you know?
You know why they wanted to search you, right? It's because they saw your magazine.
Oh, shit.
And they were like, we just want to see if we can get his clothes off.
Let's see.
If we can get a strip search, maybe we can do it. Let's just try.
Maybe he's got some dirty underwear in there that we can snag. You look like a Calvin Klein type of guy.
No, I work for the Loom Target. Target brand, good fella, hit me up.
One of those Walmart models, gotcha.
They probably turned him on even more. Yeah, they're probably like, oh.
I'm for the people. I'm not trying to rep like the big shit. I don't give a fuck. I want to model the shit that I actually wear. You know?
There you go. All right.
He's like, I'm responsible with money.
Respectable.
Hanes, they got some good shit. So, everything's packaged up, and I'm slowly putting everything back into my backpack because I've taken my passport out, my wallet, my phone. She goes, you can get on the plane. I looked at her square in the face. I go, I'm well aware, but I know damn well y'all are not going to like take this plane. You guys are not going to detach. All right? I know I'm getting on the flight. You guys, what are you going to do? Not word for word, but you get the gist. The older lady in the back started dying. The lady I was talking to kind of looked like she got pissed off. But I looked at her again. I go, I'm just putting everything away. when I'm done, I'll let you know. And I could just tell she just started giggling underneath that mask. It was the perfect topper. All the women, they were having their hoot and holler. I was slowly putting my shit away. I grabbed both duffel bags after I put my backpack on, looked at all of them, and as cliche as it was, said, "Ladies," in that kind of tone, too. Just to fuck it. Just fuck it. Why not?
Because you're high as fuck.
Just to top it off.
Now one and two. Now, keep in mind, all nine have kicked in.
Right.
But now one and two are starting to gain momentum.
Oh, fuck.
And they're going downhill. And three is starting to grab hold, but we're not quite there. I go down, and I get onto the plane, and immediately I go, fuck, my boarding pass. I didn't get on the plane yet. I was standing right next to the control guy where he uses the joysticks to back the gate away from the airplane. And he's just staring at me, and I'm just, like, slowly getting off my shit. Because I think I'm moving like Speed Racer here.
Probably not.
But... no, I'm moving like a snail. And the lady, she goes... the lady, she's standing there, she goes, "You can get on the plane." I was like, "Just gotta get my boarding pass, hang on." We're ahead of schedule, all right? I get it. Hang on, all right? And sorry to everyone on that flight, but...
You mean tell me that we did all of this and still got onto the plane with time to spare?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it was all because of... keep in mind, security. We were walking through that motherfucker. You were walking up to the thing, putting your bag on the conveyor belt, pushing it through at a steady pace, and then walking through the metal detector. Your bag goes through the scanner. You grab your shit and you go. You don't take your shoes off because fuck it.
Right.
I mean, you're smuggling shit. It's the easiest airport, and I told you. I got through security, which was a mile and a half long. I got through security in probably 4 minutes.
Damn.
4 minutes, and then that scenario with the folks where they're like, "Come with me." I was like, "All right, fine, fuck it." 10 minutes.
Damn.
To get to my terminal. And keep in mind, I got there when boarding began.
Right.
All right. That was my goal, to get on, not when boarding ceased and, you know, you were fucked.
Right.
But my goal was to get to, just get to my fucking flight, get to the gate. And if the plane was gone, fuck it. Buy a motorcycle down south for a brand new motorcycle that would cost like $3,000 USD here would cost $1,500 USD. Or 7,000 grand here would cost $3,000 there. Brand new 300, 350s, 450 Enduro cross bikes, Kawasaki Ninjas and CBRs and GSXRs, Tacomas and VW air-cooled buses, VW Beetles, all those old resto cars with zero rust, zero like frame, dense because goddamn, it's Mexico.
Yeah.
The roads are shitty as almighty hell just because it's the old cobblestone. It's not because it's bad asphalt and there are potholes. It's because the roads are original. They haven't had the need to change in 400 years.
Damn.
Because what they build is great. And that's why all those Tacomas are down there, because that's where those plants were.
Right.
For like 2000 to 2004, my Tacoma, which was like the 2004 4x4, motherfucker, everything was made in Mexico. It was, a lot of the shit was like the blueprints were sent over from Japan, because I mean, goddamn.
Right.
That was a badass truck you had, though.
Mm-hmm.
You had a Tacoma as well, Davis, huh? That shit was fucking badass itself.
I think it was the blueprints were actually sent over by the U.S. because the reason why the Toyota truck made a splash in the U.S. was because Ford and Chevy, they were killing it with the S10s, and Toyota had nothing.
You know what I loved about my Tacoma?
What's that?
I had a rear-wheel drive Tacoma, so I could do donuts and shit because I could turn the traction control off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always doing that shit in the school parking lot just for the fuck of it because it was a big, open, wide space.
Right.
And then my principal called me into the office and he was like, "What the fuck is this?" Because he had cameras. "I'm sorry, I was just having fun." And he was like, "Bro, you can't do that shit."
Almost died in that motherfucker a couple of times in driving.
I'm not gonna doubt that.
Well,
you ridden with him?
I know he and I were both on that dumb shit, which is why I don't have that Tacoma anymore.
Right.
I miss that thing every single day. I have a Subaru now. Subaru Legacy 2009. It is a 5-speed for those who are like, "Oh, Les Brew." Yeah, it is. It's one of the leziest cars you'll ever look at. But it's one of the coolest things that
I've driven.
Right. But you can so really say that you've, like, really taken care of that car, though.
I can't really say.
You put a whole new engine in it, though.
Yeah, that's because two of them blew. Now, in
here, two
Damn!
Two motors blew. The third one I just bought brand new with 18-month warranty, 8,000-mile warranty. Here's my spiel with that, and here's the reason why that's a piece of shit. That isn't a piece of shit. The first two motors, one was from the dealership that I bought the car from, all right? So that motor was gone. The second one I got my money back for after that one blew up, so I really wasn't anything in the hole besides 3,000 miles that I didn't have to pay for, right?
Right.
That's how long the second motor lasted. This third one that I'm on, that's the 18-month, 18,000-mile. It has a brand new full front pulley system, all the tensioners, the AC pump, the water pump is new, clutch, flywheel, throw-out bearing, the calipers, caliper hoses, both front brake lines, rotors, pads, tires.
Are you fucking NASCAR in this shit?
No, and it's just all stock parts. Like, I have no intention. I just want to keep this thing as stock as possible. Subaru made a great car. Why would I put any other parts on it?
That's fair.
I feel it.
And then it just holds its value. Like, oh, I got upgraded brakes. I'm not going to get my money back for those brakes. Why? Right. And it's not the car that I want to make fast.
Exactly.
You know, by the time I'm 30, my goal is to have a Toyota Tacoma that's built, has same like 2004 4x4. I want to drop, and cliche as it is, either a Coyote in it, I want to put a 6BT, or I want to throw an LS, just because it's the easiest thing to throw in. But it's true. Also one of the baddest motors to put in. Everything is, I just want bolt-ons. All right, I don't want superchargers. I'll probably get like a pro charger.
Mm-hmm.
Or a turbocharger, just because fuel mileage.
Just do the turbo, man.
Then it'll sound cool.
They do sound cool.
Well, we're coming up on the end of the episode. That was a great fucking story.
That was an amazing story, man.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Nah, it's a fucking funny story, dude.
It's a great story, man.
Is there anything you want to plug? Social media or any kind of... I know you do magazines. Is there a magazine coming out anytime soon that you want people to read?
No, but I can give like a final word if that's okay.
Go for it. Go for it.
So with COVID, I guess, coming to a collapse, hopefully.
Hopefully.
And if not, then these are my words. And if you're going through that little bit of time, this is all I got to say. There are three key ingredients that I have found to get through damn near everything. I was in one hell of a hole. Coming into these last couple 3 years, it was a lot of mental struggle, just because, you know, I was that awkward kid sitting in class. I was the quiet one where rumors were just made up about. So once I got relatively good looking and some of the weight shed, I became, I'll even admit, and I hate to call myself it, but truly I was an asshole. And so I had to go through this whole of like rehabilitation status. More, I didn't go to any facility or anything like that, but I just became socially aware. I was like, personally aware. That, like, acting like this is not.
You did that whole treat others unto.
Yeah, how did. Shit. Right, treat others the way you want to be treated.
Right.
Now, golden rule. To spin off of all that, going through this time that we're going through, give yourself time, give yourself, you know, be patient with yourself, but also try to show a little bit of understanding. I understand if someone cuts you off in line of traffic, but it just ain't working. Chill the fuck out. To take a second to breathe. Maybe they're going to see the birth of their kid.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe their mom just got admitted into the hospital, or maybe their grandma just fell at home and that person is trying to go and figure out what the hell's going on. We don't know what's going through each other's mind, and no matter what side you lean politically, try to show that understanding. Have a conversation. If it gets loud, it just means you're passionate about it, but don't let it get out of control and don't let it get personal, because that's usually where things start getting south. We're always looking at each other like we're always being stupid, like, oh, this guy voted for this guy, he's a dumbass, or this guy voted for this guy, they have no brain cells. I don't see if you can tell the pattern, but they look pretty honest with each other when they're standing there. Like, a lot of this stuff is just rehearsed. Don't let that little divide and conquer thing get to you. We're all in the same community.
Sure, for sure.
You know, that little butterfly effect, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it. You guys aware of this?
Yeah.
Let your actions be that. Do it in a positive way. Just ask how someone's doing. Walking down the road, say hi to them. Because maybe the next person's going to say hi to them, and that'll get that person that you said hi to think, well, maybe I want to greet the next person.
Pay forward.
It's creating a positive...
positive ripple. Snowball effect.
Right. It's the butterfly effect. Particles move, and eventually a tsunami on the other side of the world is going to happen. If you can reach the other side with a simple smile and a hello, that's pretty cool. That's something that you should be able to cherish.
It is.
And just let that be something you think about.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not trying to persuade you, like, do this, do that, but wouldn't you like it for someone to just say hi to you?
No.
And genuinely say... are you doing okay? Because there are those times where you've seen your coworkers. They look like they're having a bad day. And you can ask, and you have. Why can't you do that with someone else? Now, keep in mind, this coworker, they work on the other side of the building. You just happen to clock in at the same time. You happen to be walking past this post, this mailbox, on the street at the same time. What's the difference? We're all part of this community, so just reach out to them.
How long did you spend in Houston?
Houston, the airport?
Yeah, the airport.
I'd say like a solid hour and a half or so.
Them motherfuckers don't shut up. They're always talking to strangers. So you clearly weren't there very long. That's a Cleveland thing. Everybody gives, mean mugs you up here. That's what it is. That's the difference.
Not Cleveland, everyone just like,
we got a mean mug, but we're always happy to say hi.
But being from somewhere else, you think it's a mean mug. All I'm saying. It took me 6 years to catch on.
Look, here's my shtick, and being from Cleveland, and we understand the winters. Colorado, I get it. Your shit snows, but at least you see the sun.
Right.
We just have gray skies for 6 months.
Right. Chicago, at least you have a cool city to rep behind. We're coming around on that reputation where Cleveland's really cool. And Cleveland is actually, it's getting on the map. Sadly to say, it is getting on the map because now we have all the cookie cutter lifestyle motherfuckers coming in and ruining the entire fucking town, which was based off individuality.
Right.
And all that is going to hell because now condos and apartments and corporations are like, fuck it, let's just take a dump here. And they do it successfully. I wish more of the like local joints were around the city.
I agree with that.
Convenience stores. It wasn't like Mark's and Giant Eagle.
Euclid is like the perfect fucking little city because they got tiny little convenience stores like that.
Yeah, they have tons of little convenience stores like Upson Deli and Euclid Mini Mart. Mm-hmm. They got all kinds of great little places in there.
That's where you're moving, right?
Close to there.
Yeah, well, Euclid in general.
Yeah, in general, the city of Euclid.
So, I used to live out there. But yeah, that was a cool episode. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for coming, Michael. I really appreciate you coming out.
Yeah, we hope to have you back. I know I gave you a hard time the first half hour.
I wish we were able to talk about that second portion a little bit more. That's what I was starting to really get into.
We'll have you come on for the second season, and we'll finish the story. For sure. I'm down with this.
Thanks for having me.
We loved having you, man. And Davis, do you have any closing words or anything?
I just want to thank you all for listening, and I hope you have a great night.
Yeah, and welcome to 2021, guys. That was fucking awesome. Happy New Year. 2021, it's going to be fucking awesome. We have no choice. We're going to make it better, all right?
2020, our bitch.
Yeah. Peace.
48. 49. 50. Oh. Hey, what's up, guys? I was just counting my stretch marks. Either way, Michael Copenhaver and Ryan Weiss are going to be here in 2 weeks. We're going to be talking about the entertainment industry. Peace out!